Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
Amen. Amen. Well, today we're going to finish up our generosity series that we have been in, The Generous Life, and we're going to look today at an incredible story of faith that's found in the Old Testament. It's an incredible story that teaches us some of the principles that we've been learning, that we can see that the Scripture says there's more joy in giving than receiving. How many have found that this week when you celebrated Thanksgiving? More joy in giving than receiving. We were taught that you have to watch out for greed. And then last week we looked at the fact that God is the owner of all things, right? And that he's entrusted us with things, that we have the responsibility to steward those things, to be good stewards of what God has given us in stewardship. And so today, I want to just kind of wrap this series up as we look at this Old Testament story. And it's an Old Testament story that really shows us what faith is all about. That generosity is really about trusting the Lord. How many of you know that? Above everything else, it's really about trusting the Lord. Now, there are many people, and I know today, there are many people, you might be yourself in a place where you're hurting financially, struggling a little bit financially, and the cost of living has gone up. Some people are struggling to find work right now, and oftentimes you come to the end of the month and you find that there are more bills to pay than you have money at the end of the month. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, there is lack. There is real need today. And so the question might come, can I really be generous if I'm struggling financially? If I'm in a place where I'm struggling, can I really live a generous life? And the story we're going to look at today is going to help answer a little bit of those questions. And I want to ask you a question today. In the context of the question, I want to just kind of frame the context of the question a little bit. I don't know if you are aware of this or not, if you've ever done any traveling or you're aware of anything with the world is concerned. But today, there are over 3 billion people that live on $2 a day or less. $2 a day or less. And so I want to ask you the question, with that as the context, how many would say, I live a blessed life? I live a blessed life, right? I live a blessed life. And the good news is that we can be thankful because God has blessed us so much, right? That's the good news. We can be thankful because God has blessed us. But there's also bad news today, and that is that many people today, although they say, I live a blessed life, oftentimes today we find that many people are average when it comes to generosity. Studies show that as income increases, the percentage of generosity goes down. The percentage of generosity goes down and giving goes down. Let me give you some statistics. Here in the United States, a person with an average income, just the average normal income, gives about 3.1% of what they earn to charities. 3.1% of what they earn to charities. That's the average person that has an average income gives about 3.1% of their income to charities. That's not just a church. If you say, well, Pastor, you're talking about a church thing. No, I'm not talking about a church thing. I'm talking about all charities. All charities. Now, check this out. Those who make much less, whose annual income is under $10,000 a year, well below the line of poverty, they don't give 3.1%. Anybody know how much they give? They give 5.2%. They give 5.2%. Those who have less actually give more statistically. Now, you ready for this? This might shock you. Those who are extraordinarily blessed, those who earn above $200,000 a year, guess what their giving is? 3.1%? 5.2%? No, it's 0.7%. Less than 1%. Statistics show that as income increases, the percentage of generosity actually decreases. That is a sad reality for much of our culture today. You see, when God blesses us, he entrusts us with a certain amount of income. And as we talked about last week, as the owner of it all, he has entrusted it with us that we might be good stewards of those things. But oftentimes, fear, as we talk about, we've talked about fear, we talk about greed. There are different things that might impact that. But God promises that if we're entrusted and we give what we're entrusted with to him out of obedience, that we will always have enough. Do you know that? You'll always have enough. This is what Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs. How many of your needs? All your needs according to his riches through Christ Jesus, right? To the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's one of many promises about the provision of God. Psalm 37:25 says this, I was young and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. When you trust God, God isn't going to leave you out on the doorstep begging for bread. We see over and over and over again in Scripture that God is a provider. God is a provider. But the truest test of generosity is whether we will trust God to be our provider. And so the story we're going to look at in the Old Testament today, it's found in 1 Kings chapter 17. So if you have a copy of God's Word or you want to open up your Bible app on your phone, we're going to look together at 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And there was a king in Israel. His name was Ahab. How many have heard of Ahab? If you haven't heard of Ahab, how many have heard of his wife who didn't serve the Lord? Jezebel. Anybody ever heard the word name Jezebel before? Yeah. Ahab and Jezebel. And Ahab was king in Israel, and he had led the people of Israel to follow other gods. He had led them away from God into Baal worship, into worshiping the gods of and trusting in the gods of those around the other nations around them, not the God of Israel. And when they did that, as a result, God instituted a judgment and a drought came upon the land. It did not rain upon the land. 3.5 years, Scripture tells us, that it did not rain. How many know if it does not rain and there's a drought, it's going to impact the economy? Right? It's going to impact the economy. So Ahab's leadership in leading the people away from God to worshiping other gods led to something that impacted the economy of Israel. And it impacted everyone. Now listen, you say, well, that's not fair. Why would God let that happen? Well, he warned them about this all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 11:16-17, God said, be careful or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain and the ground will yield no produce and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you. That's a warning that God gave. If you turn away and you start worshiping other gods, then guess what? The judgment is going to come and the land is not going to produce what you needed to produce. Your economy is going to be impacted if you turn away and you begin to trust in other gods. And here's the thing. If you begin to trust in other gods, here's what happens. You say, well, we have lack. And God says, well, then let the other gods you've been serving meet your needs. Let the competition take care of you. Right? You see, when we trust something other than God as our source of security, as our source of provision, we actually tie God's hands from being able to provide and meet our own needs. It's a biblical principle. There are times we experience lack in our lives because if we're really honest, we haven't truly been trusting God in that area to provide for us. Or maybe we've turned to worshiping or leaning on other gods or something or someone else as the source of our provision. The prophet Elijah hadn't abandoned the Lord, though. And as we're going to see in 1 Kings chapter 17, he had also been impacted by the drought. In fact, he was the one who had issued and said, the Lord is going to bring a drought on the land because of your idolatry, because you have worshiped other gods. And he prayed that it would not rain. And the book of James tells us it did not rain for 3.5 years. But Elijah himself was impacted by the drought. But he found that God was his provider. Let's take a look at it. God was his provider, yet along the way, there were tests to his generosity. And we're going to look at three tests to a generous life, three tests to living a generous life. Test number one is this, the dependence test. The dependence test. 1 Kings chapter 17, let's look at verses 7 and 9. It says, sometime later, how many know sometime later? We don't know how many years this was. We don't know how far into the drought it was. It just says, sometime later. Look at this. The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, meaning Elijah, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. You see, at the beginning of the famine, God had directed Elijah. He said, there's going to be a famine, but I'm going to provide for you. And God directed Elijah to go to a brook. And it was at the brook that there was water that had been provided there for Elijah. Not only water, but if you read it, God had also told him that he was going to provide food for him and that the ravens, literally the birds, the ravens were going to come and feed him. How many know that's miraculous, right? That's miraculous. So God was the source of the provision for Elijah, and he had used a brook to be able to provide water for him and ravens to be able to feed him. But what we opened with, it says this, sometime later, the brook dried up. Has this ever happened to you? The brook dried up. Well, maybe it's not the brook that dried up, but maybe the job that you had that had been providing for you, all of a sudden you find yourself without that job. They let you go. They lay you off. The money has not come in. The economy impacted and they had to let you go. The brook dried up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You have a source of investment, and that source of investment or savings account was yielding, and you found that that was providing some extra provision for you, but all of a sudden, interest rates changed, and that no longer came, or that investment didn't come, and guess what? The brook dried up. You ever had the brook dry up? Somebody was there, they were providing, something was coming in, some level was coming in, and the brook dried up. But here's the question, and this is what we see in here. What was the source of the provision for Elijah? Was the source the brook, or was the source God? The source was God. The source was God. And all of a sudden, the brook dried up. And he no longer had what he needed, but God, who was the source, God, who was the provider of the brook, says, listen, I've got a new source that I'm going to use to provide for you. I've got a new source. What's the source? God tells him to go where? To Zarephath. Try to say Zarephath. Zarephath. That's fun, isn't it? In Sidon, where he directed a widow to supply Elijah with food. Now, there's some cultural things you need to understand about this. When I say this is a dependence test, this was a test of Elijah's faith, a test of who he was going to depend on for his source, what he would believe the source of his dependence was, because Zarephath was in the region of Sidon in the south. Known in the south here in America, we have what's known as the Bible Belt. How many know what I'm talking about? The Bible Belt. Well, Zarephath was in the region of Sidon. It might have been called the Baal Belt. The Baal Belt. It was not in a place where they served Jehovah. It was not even in Israel. It was in Sidon, and it was not a town that honored God. A strange place for God to send Elijah for his provision, because when he gets there, you're going to see that the famine had impacted that area as well. Secondly, God directed Elijah to a widow. Now, in our culture, as hard as it is for widows, and there is, but in those days, widows were some of the poorest of the poor. It was difficult enough being a woman in that culture. But again, if the main provider, protector for your house, your husband, was not there to provide for you, then you yourself were struggling even more. They were vulnerable, and they couldn't even hold gainful employment. And here it is, the brook dried up, and this is what Elijah hears. I want you to go to the Baal Belt, over to Zarephath in Sidon, where they don't worship me, where they've also been impacted by the famine, but I want you to go there, and I'm going to provide for you from there, and I'm going to provide for you from a widow. If I'm Elijah, I'm going, did I really hear from God? I'm not quite sure that makes sense. You want me to take You want me to go there? You're going to provide for me there? But you see, this is a test. This is a test of Elijah's dependence. Because when it comes to the promise of provision that we see in Scripture, we need to remember that our provision, or the source of our provision, is not the source itself, but it's God. It's God. God is the source. He's the only source. And the things that God uses, the source, what he uses then to provide for us, is what's called a resource. A resource. The source uses the resource that we need. Psalm 104, 10 through 15. I'm going to read it from the Message. It says this: you started the springs in the river, sent them flowing among the hills. All the wild animals now drink their fill. Wild donkeys quench their thirst along the riverbanks. They build nests. Birds build nests. Ravens make their voices heard. You water the mountains from your heavenly cisterns. Earth is supplied with plenty of water. You make grass grow for the livestock, hay for the animals that plow the ground. Oh, yes, God brings grain from the land, wine to make people happy. Their face is glowing with health, a people well-fed and hearty. Who is the one that provides all of that? God. Who is the source? God is the source. He is the source of all the earth. He is the one that is our source. God says, I am your source. But when it comes to the test, sometimes what happens in the dependence test when it comes to generosity is God removes the resource, a way he's been providing. The source changes the resource, and he doesn't provide from that resource anymore. But it doesn't mean that he's not providing. It just means that he wants us to know that resource I was using for this season. But guess what? I've got resources elsewhere, and I will provide for you. Here's the dependence test, though. Whenever you start trusting the resource instead of the source has now become an idol. That could be your place of employment. You begin to say, wait a minute. I've lost my job. What am I going to do? God says, I'm your source. I'll provide for you. No. I need this job. That's the only way I'm going to be provided for. Do you trust the job? Do you trust your education? Do you trust your bank account? Do you trust your contacts? Are you turning someone in your life, your spouse, your parents, something into the source rather than seeing it as the resource? You see, because you say, I have this resource I'm taking care of, guess what? If you transfer your trust from the resource and abandon the source, then the resource has become your God. You see, the dependency test is all about who we lean in and who we trust for our provision. And if you abandon God by trusting more in the resource than the source, God may back off. And he actually may take the resource away or let the brook dry up to remind you who the source really is. Who the source really is. So when it comes to living a generous life, we can't, if God allows the resource to dry up, we can't allow our trust in God as the source to decline. In fact, it ought to push us closer to being able to call out to the Lord and say, God, I am going to rely on you. I'm going to rely on you. See, Elijah was faced with the test of dependence. Would he trust the resource, the brook, or would he trust the God who is the source and say, God, I'm going to trust you that you're going to provide what I need? And that leads us to the second test, and that is the test of obedience, the obedience test. We have the dependence test. This is the obedience test. So if I'm really depending upon the source, now I have to walk out my faith in obedience to the Lord. Verse 10 through 12, 1 Kings 17, 10 to 12. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and he asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little of olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. That doesn't sound very good, does it? You see Elijah's obedience? Didn't make sense to go to Zarephath, didn't make sense to go to a widow for food and water, yet he does, right? He does. Elijah obeys the Lord. He says, okay, God, if you're directing me where to go, I'm going to go where you're directing me to go. But how many of you know, it wasn't easy. Because when he got there, I don't know that it was exactly what he expected. Maybe it was. But he gets there and he says, listen, all right, God directed me to you. You're a widow. I'm in this area. I want you to provide for me. And she says, I've got nothing to provide for you. I don't have much anything for myself. I only have a little bit. I don't have much for myself. But see, this is where obedience is important in the provision. In the verses that follow, look at the instructions that Elisha says, and he asks the widow to do something, and they actually go against what our natural senses would tell us. They go against our natural senses, and they it kind of seems selfish and jarring when you read it. I don't know about you, but when I read it, it feels jarring. This is what Elijah says. Elijah said to her in this moment, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as I have said, as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make some for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." Do you find that jarring? I find that jarring. Here Elijah is. Now, Elijah is obeying the Lord, isn't he? Didn't we read that? The Lord said, go to Sidon, go find a widow that's going to be there. I'm going to use that widow to provide for you. So Elijah goes and does it. And when he comes to this widow says, listen, I'm as in a bad a shape as you are, all right? I just have a little bit of oil, I have a little bit of flour, and I was going to go home, I was going to make some bread, I was going to feed myself and my son, that was our last meal, and then we were going to die. And Elijah says to her, well, go do what you were going to do, but you got to make me a little bread first. I mean, that's exactly what you expected when you came to church today to hear a generosity message. See, that pastor, he just telling me to give it to him first. No, I'm not telling you that, okay? I'm not telling you that. But that's the kind of stuff. I mean, that's the kind of crazy stuff. You're like, Elijah, what is wrong with you? Like, that is insensitive, isn't it? Like I don't understand. This is a widow. How can you say that you care about this widow? How can you be a man of God and you ask her when she's on her last meal, well, you know what? You got to make me a little bread first. But Elijah knows something. Because Elijah knows something. Here's what Elijah knows. Elijah knows that that little bit of oil and that little bit of water and that little bit of flour, that's what? The resource, right? That's the resource. That the widow who is the one to make it is what? That is the resource. But who is the source? Elijah knows the source. Elijah knows the source. So you got to take it from that perspective that Elijah knows the source, because what he tells her is, listen, this is going to be a faith step for you. You say right now, I don't have a lot. I only have a little. But I'm going to tell you that if you will give God your little, if you will just give him a little, if you will obey and just give to God what he's asking you and give God your little, guess what? You will be provided for. And the rain, until the rain comes down, you will never be without. You'll always have what you need. You'll have what you need. I don't know about that. How do you know? How do you know? Can we really know the future? No, we don't know the future, but we know the God of the future. We don't know the future, but we know the God of the future. You see, this is all about this is all about faith. This is all about obedience. This is saying, God, I'm going to trust you that you are the source and that you have the ability to provide the resource from absolutely nothing and nowhere. You can multiply it. It's a test of faith. So what does the widow do? Verse 15. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. And look at this. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. That is an important principle right there. Because that principle says that if I trust God with what he's asking me to steward and to give, God will be the one to provide that I will never be without. I will never be without. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging for bread. but it was going to be a test of obedience. Would this woman obey the words of the prophet? Would she obey what Elijah was telling her that God was going to do for her? She would not have seen the provision that she experienced if she had not first taken the step of faith and trusting God as the source. She had to learn how to trust God as the source. And so that's a great story, but does that really match up? Is that really what God is asking of me? Well, in the book of Malachi, Israel had been experiencing lack once again. They had, again, turned away from the Lord. They were questioning God's love because they were struggling. They weren't seeing the provision of God, and they had really walked away from God. It was one of those moments again, and Malachi is prophesying to them, and he's encouraging them about some of the areas of disobedience where they were not walking in obedience to the Lord. And this is what he says in Malachi 3, 8 through 11. It's a wonderful promise, but it's also a challenge right here. He says, will man rob God? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. And then this is what he says, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Malachi says to them, listen, you are experiencing the need you're experiencing because you are not walking in obedience to the Lord. And as a result of that, there has been a curse that has come on you, and the provision, my hands have been tied. I have been not able to bless you the way that I want to bless you because you have not been walking in obedience to me. I'm the source and I'm the one that provides. If you will walk in obedience to me, will I not throw open the windows of heaven and provide for you everything that you need and more? Right? I will rebuke the devourer. Some of you are like, I'm working harder than I've ever worked before, and yet I can't seem to get ahead. Have you been walking in obedience to God when it comes to trusting Him and giving what He's asking you to give? Perhaps the devourer has not been rebuked. This is the one area, I call it the obedience test, because this is the one area, a lot of times God says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. But here in Malachi, we actually see that the Lord says, put me to the test. Put me to the test. I can tell you personally that I put the Lord to the test. And when I'm obedient, the way the Lord asked me to be obedient, can I tell you that I don't even know how the provision comes? There have been times when our family has been at the edge and we're like, I don't even know where it's coming from. But the Lord encourages us and we give and we tithe. And can I tell you what happened? It somehow multiplies. Somehow the need gets met. I can't explain it. I don't know it. I just know it works and it's true. I can't explain it. It's Jesus math. There is no other way. When you trust God as the source and you walk in obedience to Him with your tithes and your offerings as He puts it in your heart to do, and you say, okay, God, I'm going to test you in these things. People say guarantee. I can guarantee you that you will not be without. It's the principle in God's word. It's what happens when we obey the Lord. I believe there are others in here that you've walked in those same principles that I have. I know because I've talked with you. And you know that somehow God provides. You see, without obedience, it's impossible to be in the right position for God, for you to experience God's miraculous provision in your life. It's the obedience test. It's the dependence test, who is my source? And then it's the obedience test to say, I trust that the source can provide for me and multiply what I need. But here's the third test. It's called the benevolence test. Benevolence is the disposition to do good, goodwill, kindness, charitableness. It's giving what we have to help someone else with a need that they have. You see, for this widow to receive the provision that God had for her, she first had to give what she had, a little bit of what she had. She had to give to meet the need of the prophet Elijah. As she gave to help someone else's need, then God made sure that she had what she needed. Do you see that? Elijah, man, he comes to her. He says, listen. Her response was first, no, I need to hold on to what I have. I need to hold on to what I have. Elijah says to her, listen, I want you to go and bake some bread and bring it to me. She goes, no, I only have this. I need to make this. I need to feed my son, and then we're going to die. I need to hang on to what I have. The first inclination is to hang on. That's what fear does. Fear says we need to hang on. We need to hang on. We need to hang on. Faith says we need to let go. Faith says we need to let go. She was hanging on, but faith said, need to let go. Elijah said, listen, meet my need, bake me a little bit of bread, meet my need, and you'll never go without. She had to become a conduit for the blessing that God wanted to do. She had to be the conduit of it in order for her to be able to receive what she needed, because God promised, I'll never leave you empty-handed. I'll never leave you empty-handed. Jesus taught this in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over, be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Paul said, if you sow sparingly, you will also reap sparingly. But if you sow generously, you will also reap generously. And again, as we talked about last week, the abundant provision of the Lord is not just for us to use it selfishly on ourselves, but it is so that we might be a steward of what God gives. Because if we are good stewards of what he gives and we use that to be able to bless others, then God says, if I can entrust you with little, I will entrust you with more. I can entrust you with much. The widow gave what little flour and oil she had, but the return on investment provided her meals for days. I'm going to tell you something. There is a great ROI when it comes to being obedient to the Lord and allowing ourselves to be a channel of God's blessing and a resource to those who have need. One believer was asked how he could give so much of his wealth to the Lord's work, and he replied this, as I shovel it out, he shovels it in, and the Lord has a bigger shovel. He does. The Lord has a bigger shovel. Years ago, and I'm going to close with this illustration, so worship team, will you come? There was a man who was building a house in rural New England and needing water for his new home. He commissioned an expert to dig a well for him, and the old well digger, seasoned in the art of his trade, scouted out the property, searching for the right spot to be able to sink his shaft into the ground. Sure enough, he found an underground river and put a well, packing up his gear, getting ready to leave. He told the homeowner, listen, here's some important advice. Every day you must pump some water from the well. If you don't, you'll be sorry. Well, the homeowner thanked the man and he followed his advice there. He began to pump the well. Every day he would pump a little bit more of the water. And as time went on, though, he began to take that for granted. And one day he had to leave on a trip, but he forgot to ask somebody to pump the well every day while he was gone. And when he returned, the water from the bottom of the well was stagnant and almost gone. He tried pumping fresh water in, but nothing happened. Nothing came out. So he went down and he told the old well digger, listen, that well you put in is dried up. And the well digger asked, he said, do you remember to pump the water every day? And the young man confessed his neglect and said, no, I didn't do that, but why does that matter? And the well digger replied this, the water in the well comes from the underground river that feeds the small tributaries of water which are connected to the well. Water must continue to flow into these small tributaries so the well can receive water. If you quit pumping the water, the ground will dry up slightly and the underground river can't find its way to your well. This cuts off the water supply. And the old man concluded with this, remember the source of the water is the river, not the well. Friends, God's provision for you comes from God. He may have provided a resource in your job, or he may have provided some other means in which he is providing for you, but never forget that God is the source. God is the source of it all. God is the one who is the source. And he asks us to continue to trust him every day, being obedient to him and giving what we are able. Because the widow was willing to minister to Elijah and to be a channel of God's blessing and to be obedient in faith and trust God as her source, she never ran out. God reversed her situation. 1 Kings 17:6, for the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord as spoken by Elijah. As spoken by Elijah. Friends, God promises us provision, but to live the generous life means we've got to trust our generous Heavenly Father, the one who is able to provide for what we need, the one who is the source for everything that we need. And he tests us. Are we dependent upon him, or are we dependent upon our own ability to be able to earn an income, or upon somebody else to provide what we need? Are we trusting and dependent on God as our source? Are we walking in faithful obedience to him? And are we allowing ourselves to be a channel of blessing to those around us who may have need? And you say, but wait a minute, I have need. So did the widow. But the widow experienced that when she gave out of her own need, she found that she was provided for by the source. One of the barriers that comes is fear. But Elijah reminded her, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. If you will trust me with your first fruits, if you will give a little bit to me, if you will do that first, seek the Lord. If you will do that for me first, you will find that I will provide everything that you need. Everything that you need. So today, do you need to trust God as your source? Maybe you've been afraid. Maybe there's some things and you're just struggling. Do you need prayer to trust God as your source today? To trust him as your source? Do you maybe need to take a step of obedience to see God's provision? Maybe there's somebody you need to bless. Maybe there's somebody God has put on your heart, or a ministry, or something that God has put on your heart, a missionary or something that you say, oh, I'm supposed to do this, but I don't know how I'm going to do this. I have a little bit, but you know what? I'm going to do what God's asking me to do in obedience, to be a channel of his blessing. Maybe today you need to take that step of faith. God is impressing that upon you because he's saying, I want you to remember that I'm the source and I want to show you how I can provide for you. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, you want us to live a generous life because there's more joy in giving than receiving. We're the stewards, God, of what you have put into our hands. Today, Lord, at times there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of things that are happening, even economically here in our own country, that make it difficult sometimes to trust you. And we might be tempted to want to hang on when you're asking us to let go. We might be tempted to hold on when you're asking us to give. Doesn't seem to make sense. It didn't make sense for the widow. It didn't make sense for Elijah. But Lord, we pray that today you'll help us to learn how to trust in you because you're our source, to walk in obedience and allow you, Lord, to use us to be a channel of your blessing, that we might be able to meet the needs of those around us, that Father, we might be able to meet someone else's need. We might be able to see, God, how you will use us, even with the little that we have, when we entrust it to you. And that, God, we find that every day you don't allow us to go with lack, but Lord, you are a generous giver who provides us with all that we need. Father, once again, we thank you. We thank you that you're a generous God and that we can trust you. And today, we ask that you will help us, God, to be obedient to you, that we might fully be able to live and walk out the generous life that you call us to as followers of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit painesvilleag.com.